I said, the glory of the Lord is here. Oh, Lordy. He is so good. And one thing that song, thank the Lord for what he has already done. We look so forward to asking God for something that haven't arrived yet to bless us with. But you forget to thank him for what he has already done. I'm not going to say that. Yes, I will. Keep all y'all's canned fruit and put it back on the shelf. Amen. Don't be throwing your canned fruit while I'm up here because I stepped on your toes. Hallelujah. God is great and he's worthy to be praised. Yes, what I want to talk about today, the subject, never underestimate what God can do when you put him first. I thought about the draft, this being, football season. I thought about the draft. And when players go to play sport teams, those teams just don't talk about being on the team. Those teams are told to think big, dream big. It's not about one game. It's about the season. Amen. So when you want to think big or dream big to maximize their purpose, their calling, that's what the coaches, that's what they were hired to do, to maximize their calling. But it is really unfortunate that we will do in our career realm, in our financial realm, in our educational realm, what we are unwilling to do in the spiritual realm. And that is go for it. We will give great sacrifice, great time, great attention, and much money to get a title in our names, our popularity, our notoriety, get education for this world's values. But you know, and what is legitimately needed in order to function, we do that, but often at a cost of dreaming big spiritually. We are not dreaming big spiritually. We'll do it for our natural, but not for the spiritual. So I want to expand today in those songs, Lord have mercy, praise team. But you know, praise team sung, but I think they ushered in the praise and worship. But it was so easy for them, just because each one of us came in with a spirit of praise on our hearts. When we do that, God moves. So I just want to expand your focus today, because far too many of us settle as being Christians. This is why Jesus told his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this stuff you're after, all these things that I legitimately have for you will be added unto you. Amen. But he says you must seek the kingdom first. You must thank the rule of God first. You must thank your relationship with God first. And stuff, the stuff you want, second. Amen. Nothing comes before God. Amen. They tell me when I read years ago that God is a jealous God. You know, a jealous person don't want you to put anything before him. That's the truth. Before them. What we do, we reverse the order. We think of stuff first. And whatever we can fit God in, God should be happy about that. My challenge today is, as we move into this new season of life and ministry, is your or us to dream big, but starting from a spiritual standpoint of view. not because these other things aren't legitimate, and not because they are not important. I'm just saying they are not first. Just as we want our kids to be dream big, to think big, to become big in life. God wants his children. His kids. Us. To think big. To dream big. In the context of his purpose. For our lives. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. We have got a problem, a serious problem. The king of Israel, Joash, has come to the prophet Elisha on his dying bed, and he says, "My father, my father." In other words, we have a problem. Our problem is that we are under attack from Abram. Abram has risen up to challenge Israel to destroy them. And the king was outnumbered, overpowered, and didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't know what to make of this. This is a bad, serious situation. I just wondered this morning, are there folk here today with Arams in your life? I'm talking about problems that have come on you that you are not sure how you're going to get rid of or how you're going to handle it. You're not quite sure how you're going to get through it because this one looms large in your life, in your world, and in your mind. It's just too big for us, for me to handle. I just don't know what to do. This thing was too big for the king of Israel to handle. So let me just throw in a little something here. One of the reasons that God allows things in our lives that are too big for us to handle is to put you in your place. To not let us know, you add all that. And I said, ain't. I know mom said, don't say ain't, because it ain't right. But to let us know that we ain't all right on our own.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
Because without me, without God, it is just to let the thing have its way in you, it would do you in.
That's right.
If God just let it go, let you go through your mess. It'll do you in. God loves us so much. He does all he can in his word for you to talk to you. He speaks to you that you will believe in him and him alone. Because without him, we are nothing. King Joash, recognizing that Aram, was going to be a big thing to handle. He's going to be too tough to handle, too hot to hold. And he goes to Elisha. You know, it's amazing. Pastor Tony, Pastor Mumford could probably identify with this. It's amazing. People will come to you, knock on your door when the problems get too big for them to handle. They'll find you. They know where you're doing. When situations have gotten out of hand, they come knocking on your door. So this king came to the prophet Elijah, and he says, my daddy, my father, because right now I'm your baby boy. In other words, a child is dependent on his parents. Why does he go to Elijah? Because he recognized that's his personal might, his personal strength, his personal prestige couldn't fix the problem. It was just too big. Aram was too overpowering, too overwhelming. So he recognized the need for a spirit for the spiritual, for he was going through successfully, unsuccessfully, with the physical. Now there's a reason he went to Elijah and calls him, my father, he called him that twice. Because that really wasn't his father, real father. So Elijah had a double portion. If you remember the story when Elijah was getting ready to be taken up to heaven, Elisha came to him because he was his mentee. Elijah was his mentor. And he went to Elijah, was getting ready to leave. Elisha said to him, I want a double portion of that. So when he read the life of Elijah, you see him doing twice as much as Elijah did, because Elijah was, and God was glad to see somebody who wanted more of him. By the way, let me give you another something else. God will only give you as much as you can handle. You see, God is not about to waste God on anybody. So he's not going to give you more than you can handle. Some folks says, God, give me more of you. God is not going to let God just run over and spill out on the ground. He wants to know your container is worthy of his glory. And so he says, my father. And then he says, the chariots of Israel Then he says, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen. Now, wait a minute. Right now, that doesn't make sense. The chariots of Israel and the horsemen. In order to understand what he was saying, we have to go back to 2 Kings chapter 6. In 2 Kings chapter 6, servant is looking out and he sees an army. The same situation coming after them, surrounding his house, getting ready to attack and kill the servant of Elisha, the prophet. He runs into Elisha, the prophet, and he says, we're not going to make it. They are outnumbering us. They're getting ready to kill us. And in verse 17 of 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes, because he can't see. And he says, God took the scales off his eyes, and when he saw, when his scales were taken off his eyes, the servant saw horses going around a house led by angels of chariots of fire, daring the Syrians to come near that house. You see, the reason that Joash went to Elijah is he knew Elisha had spiritual insight. Amen. The reason why we don't dream big is because all we see is what we see. And if all you see is what you see, that's all we'll be seeing. Until you learn to either know a person that can see in the spiritual realm, or at least somebody who you know sees stuff in the spiritual realm, so that you can address it in the physical. See, God does things. That's why it's so important to praise him, to be spiritual filled, so your spirit is clean. God sees, allow you to see things in the future that's going to happen, but he'll allow you to see it in the spiritual realm. And if you're not close enough to God that he can talk to you and speak to you, you can't get it in your spiritual realm to see what he's doing. And because it's not happening now, then you won't make it. You see, the reason why we don't dream big because all we see is what we see. And so that you can address, we have to see things or know somebody that we can get in contact with so we can see things. We may not understand it because we haven't seen it yet, but we just need somebody with spiritual insight that we can talk to, that we can deal with. And your human resources are limited because all you can see is what you see. But until you and I realize that spiritual as the spiritual precede the physical, until you and I live with that, not as an event, but as a way of life, as a mindset, like the young people, that's how we roll. Then you will live, I will live, we will live our lives. Never, we don't do that. We will live our lives never seeing what God can do and be limited to what we can do. And when the problem is too big, you can't do much because you are limited to your own human finiteness. So he says, he comes and says, what am I going to do? What am I, we're going to be overwhelmed. We're going to be overtaken. We're going to be killed. What am I going to do? And going back to 2 Kings 13:15, he tells him what he's to do. First of all, he says, take a bow and arrow. So he takes up the bow and arrow. These are weapons of war. Verse 16 says to the king, put your hand on the bow. The king puts his hands on the bow. And Elisha lays his hands on the king's hand. This is going to be important in a minute. Okay, watch this. We are going somewhere with this. He picks up the bow, and Elisha puts his hand on top of the king's hand. This is called sharing the anointing. You may not have what you need, but do you know somebody who does spiritually? Hallelujah. It's sharing the anointing. So Elisha spiritually wrapped the anointing of God around his hand physically with a weapon of war. This is going to be very important in a few minutes. Verse 17, he says, open the window toward the east. So the king opens the window toward the east because that's where Aram is coming from. So Aram is going to attack them from the east. So he says, you came to me running from them because they are too big and too strong. You're going to be changed in this equation. We are moving from defense to offense. Y'all football players know what I mean. I know they're coming at you. Well, let's come at them. You remember David when he faced Goliath? The army ran from Goliath. Why? Because when you have place the equation of God, it changes the scenario.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Now, he ran to, but Saul's army ran from. So, it changed the scenario.
Yes, it does.
Because the Lord was in the rock of David. And when he twirled that little rock, it brought down a 9-foot, 9-inch giant. Ephesians chapter 6, it says, when the enemy comes in, stand firm. It says, stand firm. Don't run because you're no longer playing defense. if God is in the equation. And so what does he say? Guess what he says? He says, I want you to open up the window, and I want you to shoot the arrow out the window. And he says, the Lord's arrow, because it had been anointed by God from the prophet Elisha, when he laid his hands on the king, he shared the anointing. So he says, and he says, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram, for you will defeat them until you destroy them. That's what a promise of God was. We have to understand something. Whenever you put, I don't care what you're facing, don't give up on God because it's too hard. Don't give up on God because you can't see. God, just because God made a promise, don't mean that you're going to get stand victory over that promise. Not yet. That's a promise that's in the future. That's a promise that you haven't seen yet. But you need God to reach the promise. But so many of us go through stuff that's too hard for us. We can't see with the spiritual eye the outcome. And we try to do it on our own. That's why we can, somebody said, the Lord says he's going to bless you with this. We ain't no sense you shouting the victory yet. If you haven't seen what God showed you. If God is not in the equation, that means you're moving on your own. That's why a lot of us, when we come and say, oh, Lord, I'm suffering this. I'm suffering that. And a lot of people say, when you leave here, God gave you a word. And if, word, if God made a, gave you a word, his words are promise he gave you, and that's why this devil come and take it from you, because you can't see. Just but you think you have it in your grips, and you don't put God in the equation. Say, God, how are you going to do this? So he brings Satan takes your hands off. He destroys your faith. You're not looking at him spiritually anymore. You're looking at your own understanding. And it's not going to work out that way. He told his king, shoot the arrow out the window. Okay, hear that. Shoot the arrow out the window. I heard it. I got you, God. Shoot it east because that's where your enemy is coming from. This is a weapon of war. I want you to declare victory because what you just shot out the window is the Lord's arrow.
The Lord's arrow.
Wait a minute. Hold your horses. Let's get natural now. Let's get physical. I just thought this was just a bow. An arrow. Well, it was until it got sanctified. Sanctification is a, well, the biblical doctrine of separating something for it's uniquely used by God. Throughout the Bible, God would sanctify something in order to use it supernaturally.
Amen.
Let me bring back some stories. Maybe y'all remember. Remember Moses? Now, if you remember Moses got a stick with a hook in it because he was leading sheep with the hook in it. Just a staff with a hook. God told him to throw it down. It becomes a snake. Pick it up. And became a rod again. And now he tells him to open up the Red Sea with it. Because now it's the rod of God, no longer the rod of Moses.
Come on, man.
I told you about David already. He sanctified the rock of David so an ordinary rock could bring down a 9-foot-9 giant. Remember Peter? He sanctified the net of Peter so it could now bring up fish that would sink the boat. God sanctifies things when he wants the spiritual, the supernatural, the spiritual is covering the physical. Now, it's the spirit versus the physical. That's what it really is. So if the spiritual, now he's still going to use the bow. He's still going to use the arrow. But it is now covered by the hand of the prophet, the Lord's arrow of victory. That's a promise of God. So I got that. I got to explain this. Let's deal with a little theology here. The Lord's arrow of victory. We got that. He just got a promise from God. We got that. Because God promises once you shoot that arrow out the window, it's going to go east. That's where the enemy, your enemy is coming from. That's the Lord's promise. And he's going to tell him something else. And see, that's the Lord's arrow that went out. So God is in it. It's already been sanctified. Amen. God's in it. Stay with me about a minute. I'm not going to be long. But I'm not through yet. He's got a promise from God that the victory is his. Not only has he gotten a promise from God, he's got a promise that says you will wipe them out. You will totally defeat them. He's got a promise of completion. That is because you and I must learn something about God. God is not waiting for stuff to happen. Moses says, who shall I tell him to send me? You tell him I am sent you. Want me to call it another way? Just tell him I is sent you. Because God has no past. He can never say God has. God, he could never say I was. God has no future. He can't say he will be. Everything for God is present tense. Let's understand that. God is now. What God promises is not yet a his reality. He will have victory. That's what he promised the king. It has not become a reality. He told him he will have victory. It hasn't come yet. But that's what he is going, because it's been sanctified. The arrow is out. It went out. He told him he will have victory. Now, this is why the Bible is true. The Bible is not is true because God is not waiting for prophecy to happen. In the mind of God, whatever he has prophesied has happened because it's eternal now. Hallelujah. So we read the Bible and we say, boy, revelation is going to happen. Jesus is going to return. With God, it's a now event. So he is not hoping and going, oops, I missed it again. It doesn't happen because it's all a reality to God. But it's not a reality to us. We can't, you know, God is not there and saying, oops, I missed it again. It's not hoping and wishing or desiring as far as God is concerned. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, since God declares the end from the beginning, in other words, he has already been there and come back. There was a song. That's an older song that Pastor Tony You may know this. I said it's an older song. The whole world is a stage. It says everybody's playing a part. The stage is set, the curtain goes up, and then, you know, the rest of the scene is a broken heart. But this, the whole world is a stage. And we are just players. We are actors and actresses in this plan of God. When you write a script, we at the beginning of it. We know the end of the script, but we haven't gotten there yet. So victory has been declared. We got that. Going back to the king. Victory has been declared. You shot the arrow, it went east. He says, victory is yours. So let me give you some good news. Whatever God has declared for your life has already been determined. It has already been guaranteed. It has already been achieved. And God is not waiting for it to happen. We are. Don't y'all go anywhere yet. Stay with me just a little bit longer. The reason you can dream bigger than you can see is because what God has ordained in the mind of the heart and the purposes of God has already occurred. Hallelujah. Your life, Psalm 139, but you have to read the whole psalm. It says, has already been laid out as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's been decreed from the end to the beginning. He starts at the end and works back. I'm trying to make it as simple as I can because I don't want anybody to get confused. Now, with that information, we got the same bow, the same arrow. We got a new perspective. It's the Lord's arrow. Amen. And you're going to wipe them out. Dreaming Big says, God, I'm not going to settle for how things are. Just Dreaming Big. I'm not going to settle until I get all that you have ordained for me. It doesn't ordain the same thing for everybody. It's not the same thing. God didn't promise everybody the same thing. But whatever is mine, I want it even though I don't see it. It's a spiritual realm when you see what God is doing before it happens. And when you watch the process of the unfolding when it happens and as it happens, it's called walking by faith. And not by sight. That's why he says, by his stripes, we were already healed. He already knows. We're just starting. He knows what's going to come, what you're going to be faced with already. He knows what the devil is going to try to do to you already. That's why I said, by his stripes, we are already healed. That's why when I get sick or anything happen, God has already healed me. I'm just working through the process. By faith, I know it's the truth. How many times can he tell me? How many times can he react? How many times can he do this thing? I had so many problems, so many things had gone wrong, financial, all kinds of stuff. But I got through every one of them. So why can't I stop now and thank him for what he's already done in the past? Because I have a mindset, I have a spiritual insight of how God operates. He's already been there. He's already made room for me. He's already had a purpose and a plan for whatever he's promised me. He knew I was going to go through that. He knew I was going to get a good wife, even before I got her. But we have to get a clear understanding. We're going into a new season. We have to start this new season. Forget about that stuff you did. God did a lot of things. But I'm telling you, keep on believing. Keep on believing God. What else are you going to do? Lord, I've been praying for this thing to heal. I've been praying for a long time. It hasn't happened yet. God says when you start believing in me, maybe it'll happen. It will happen. You can't give up on God because he has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for you. Why would you want to give up? Another scripture says it is speaking of things as though they were, even they are not yet, because you don't have a spiritual perspective. And you place that as a priority on top of the physical, and not simply asking the spiritual to bless the physical. I actually believe what God says when he says, by his stripes I'm already healed, when he's already promised you things that hadn't taken place yet, I can see it happening.
Hallelujah.
That's how you walk by faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. You have asked the spiritual to envelope the physical. It says you will fight them and defeat them until you destroy them at the end of verse 17. But at verse 18 says, then he says, take the arrow. So he got the arrow out of his quiver. Quiver is where they keep the arrows. And he took them and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. He struck it three times and stopped. In other words, now shoot the arrow, strike. Shoot the arrows into the ground. Okay, watch this. Take the one arrow, shoot it out the window. He did that. That's God's arrow. So this arrow, he shot out the window toward the east. That's hearing God's word declaring how things are. In spite of how things seem right now, that's starting his faith. First thing he says, shoot the arrow, point east, out the window. Then he tells him to shoot the other arrows he had left in the ground. Hearing God's word declaring how things are, in spite of how the things seem. Mm-hmm. Right now, you're putting it in God's hands. Mm-hmm. We are sanctifying the battle. Mm-hmm. You just did that with one arrow, the one that you shot out the window. You're sanctifying God's battle. I want you to take the other arrows and strike the ground. He did that. One, two, three, got him in there. And then the verse says, and stopped. Somebody says, stop.
Stop.
So the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times, then you would have struck Aram's until you would have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only three times. This is the principle. God promises are in your reach. They are not in your hand. You're hearing that, right? God's promise, victory, is in your reach. Because God can't lie. So if God says something, it's true. Which means it's gettable, because it's true. But when he makes a mistake to you, or a promise to you, when it is in your reach, it's not in your hand, because he wants to see you walk by faith to get it. He wants to see that you believe his word enough that you will go get what God has promised, that you act on in subsequence enough to arrive at when the promise is declared. So many people say amen to the victory, to the promise, still don't get the victory because they don't go get the promise that is either in their reach or in their hand. There must be movement by faith to get experience the promises of God. So what does the king do? He shoots the arrow three times, probably half of what he has left in the ground. The preacher got mad because he told him, you are not taking God seriously. I said to shoot the arrows until you destroy them. That was the rest of his arrows after he shot the one. That was sanctified. God already made the promise. And then he said, but you and you will defeat them. He had the promise. He had told him, he said, shoot the arrows that you have left in the ground. He didn't do that. He didn't do it. He said, I said, shoot the arrows until you destroy them, which means you're going to use all your arrows. But you are playing games with me. That's what he said. We play games with God sometimes. In other words, you are placating God. You are doing enough to make it look like you're doing something. You're doing enough to spiritually get by. You're doing enough to give the impression you believe God. But you are not doing it in completion. God tells you to do something, we have to do it word for word the way God wants us to do it.
Amen.
In other words, you're not taking God seriously, Joash. You're playing with me. I didn't just declare a full victory. And you won't give me but a half of commitment. Being half committed is like being half dead. Being half pregnant. Half married. Let me tell you the promise with half, the problem with half. The problem with half is you have half left. The other half to come back at a later time. You see, half means there's this other half out there that once it gets itself together, because you didn't take but half of it away, but now this other half is configuring itself to get full again, to come back at you at a later date. To start, now you're starting all over again because you did not go but half the way with God. That his kingdom, his rule, his full commitment, it wasn't there. And so the promises that are in your reach never show up in your hand. And you wonder whether God lied or whether God's messing with you. No, God is waiting on you. So you and I can delay or cancel what God has already declared should happen. Not because it's not true, but because we weren't all in. Some of us have been here long enough to have seen some things that God can do. And I remember the story. Some of us may not be at the beginning of this ministry. But you know, because when you started with nothing out there, and all it was a field that we supernaturally got by God, wasn't out there but trees, buildings, empty buildings, run-down buildings. And we had dreamed, since we found out that the road ran through it, had 2 acres on the other side of the road. And we wanted all the acres that's due. And your dream is on both sides of the street. We have male and female restrooms, which we didn't have before. A nice sanctuary, classrooms for children to be taught, conference room, fellowship hall, nice parking lot, and all for the glory of God. When we bought the land, we spoke as though it was, but it was not yet. You see, we looked at, walked over many, many properties. We have several miles of property walking on our shoes, but either owners of other properties couldn't sell because of problems they had within the within the interest of the property, or the property wasn't suitable to build on. But let me tell you something. God has a way of doing things, and he doesn't always explain how he's going to do it, because his ways are so far from our ways, and his approach is not our approach, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. But when the spiritual is put first, it can address the physical, the social, the economic. God is not against that economic part. All things can come, but not at the expense of delaying full commitment, full fellowship, full following, full faith, full of obedience. Everything has to be full with God. Ephesians, we all know this. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who can do exceedingly. Take a time and listen at the superlatives. Now unto him who can do exceedingly. Not only that, but he can do abundantly. I am not done yet, but above all that we could ask or think. Things we haven't seen, but we have. Because of full faith in God. So we can give him some praise for that. Hey, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. My title was, Never Underestimate God, What God Can Do When We Put Him First. But you see, everybody liked the first half of the verse, but don't leave out the second half. It says, according to the power that's working within you. The spiritual will determine what God is free to do for you, to do for us, based on the promises to you. He will do it. I told you I was finished some time ago, almost, didn't I, Michael? I'm not finished yet. Just a little bit. I was praying. Matter of fact, I had this message pretty much covered 3 weeks ago. But this last few days, I kept visiting it, reading the scripture over and over again, trying to get some better understanding. Everything was fine. God would change a word, change a phrase here, and I would just calculate all that. And then this week, about 3 days ago, I had a sore throat. And started coughing. Couldn't stop. So I thought, I said, Lord, I went into serious prayer. This morning I was just coughing, and I was up 1:30 this morning. Started coughing. Started sneezing. Didn't know what's going on. I said, God, I know what's happening. I said, Satan, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you.
That's right. That's right.
Somebody needed to hear this message this morning. They needed to get some clear understanding of how they can achieve all that God has for you.
Amen.
And I got in the car. Linda had to stop by and sort of pick up a card. I started sneezing and coughing. I walked out of here, came in here, went in the office. I said, man, this is... Then my buddy came in. I stopped him from doing what he normally do. He stayed. And I said, we just talked. And still believing, I said, Satan, you're a liar. The truth is not in you. He tried to hinder me from giving you this message.
That's right.
That's all that it equates to. That's all. Because I hadn't coughed or sneezed yet.
Come on, Pastor.
We got to go through life. When things happen, you have to just put your faith and believe and trust in God. These so many years, being in Christ, being saved, I had a lot to learn. But being in God for so many years, I have learned what I have learned, I'm keeping. If it doesn't happen, that means it wasn't supposed. If everything that God has promised me doesn't happen, that means I'm going on with Him. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I got another big issue. You'll find about that later. But if God can heal me, that's why I thank Him all the time for what God has done. Then somebody says, if you never do another thing, I'm still going to believe Him and still going to trust Him. You better stop lying. Because to get you to where He wants you to go, you're going to go through some stuff. He wants to know how you're going to handle it. It's in your reach, but are you going to have enough faith to go get it? That's the main thing we want to take into this new season. I don't care what you're going through. Man, I'm not going to tell you the stuff not going to get so hard that you can say you start doubting God. I'm not going to say that. God knows how. He won't give you no more than you can handle. We always say that, don't we? So if you allow it to happen to you, you can handle it. The fact is, don't give Him up. Don't get mad with Him. Don't give Him up. He is not done with you yet. And He gave you another day of living in your right mind, sound and body, to learn more about His word so you can get what you have for you tomorrow. Don't give up on God. And don't come to me. I'm going to pray hard for you. I'm not going to say that. I mean, the praying part, I am. But when I find out that your mind is somewhere else, I'm going to continue to pray that Lord, check it. Please. Because you have so much for us. Everybody waiting for the new year in just a few hours from now. Some of them this morning had one gate, tomorrow hadn't come yet for them. Because the lives ended. We just pray that when it did, they were in the hands of the Lord.
Amen.
But we know, who am I to tell what condition a person is in? I don't have heaven or hell to put nobody in. I just pray that they found the word in their hearts to not give up on God. So when you ask God, I want more of God, you better be ready to receive more of God. And if you're spiritual, believing in Him, you have everything God has promised. I walk by faith and not by sight. You keep that thought in mind, knowing that nothing, even if it doesn't happen, you can't blame God, for God owns us. He is our Father. And everything that He has for us is to develop us a closer relationship with us so we can have that same love for Him that He has for us. It's because of love that He went to the cross. It's because of love that I had the opportunity to be saved.
Come on.
It's because of Him that I don't care how if the doctor said, no, we can't do it. I know a doctor that can.
Hallelujah.
He has done so much, so many different times, even with this year. He has done so much for me. I will never give up. I will encourage each and every one. Don't give up on God. If He promised you something, legitimately promise you something, you're going to get it.
Hallelujah.
Just don't give up. Heavenly Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, everyone that's in the hearing of my voice, Lord, everyone here this morning, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for giving them ears to hear, a heart to receive you for all that you have for them, Lord. Father, I thank you for your presence being here, even at the beginning of praise and worship. Lord, I thank you for the healings that have taken forth, the miracles that have taken forth, and I thank you for the day is not over. You're still not done. And Father, I thank you that we can bring in this new thing and what we consider a new year to a closer relationship with you. So, Lord, I thank you. Instead of 11:59, instead of waiting to pull our pistols and guns out to celebrate a day that we haven't seen yet, we can praise and worship you now. Lord, I pray that 10 minutes off, that's saying we're not going to enjoy ourselves, Lord, but we're going to give your name the glory and praise and honor, Lord, for just blessing us with what you have already done in our lives. I will be praying now for each and every one of our members. But, Lord, I thank you, our family and all. But I thank you, Lord, that each one of them will remember what you have already done. Instead of, we're going to shoot arrows up to you, Lord. Spiritual arrows. The arrow of God. Through prayer to reach you, Lord. Because we know without a shadow of a doubt we have the victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.